So here we have this Ganapati mantra. Om Ganana Am Tva Ganana Am Tva Ganapati Gum Hava Mahe Kavin Kave Namo Pamashravastamam Jeshtarajam Brahmanam Brahmanaspata Anashrunvannati Bhisseda Sadhanam Om Shri Mahaganapataye Namaha. I remember very well this Bhagavad Gita class that's happening. We are seeing the mantra verses of 7th chapter of Gita. But still I want to begin the class today with the meaning of that mantra. So when you take a mantra or a verse, always in keeping with the mantra, what mantra is there, we can always look for the verb. We look for the verb. The verb we find is, first we find is Havamahe. Havamahe, first person, plural, present tense verb. Like Yajamahe, Havamahe also means worship. Because the verb is understood, subject of action is understood. Yajamahe or Havamahe means worship, who we worship. And whom do we worship? Ganapatim Havamahe. But mantra chanting, we say Ganapati Gum. Is it? Ganapatim Havamahe. Ganapatihi, nominative. Ganapatim, objective. Ganapatim Havamahe, we worship Ganapatihi. And what does the word Ganapatihi mean? Ganapatihi is one of the names of the Lord. And we can have any number of names, isn't it? One of the names of the only Bhagavan who alone is in the form of this entire Jagat, universe. Patihi means Pati iti Patihi. One who protects is called Patihi. Why? Who is the Lord? The Lord is the one who sustains, who protects. Patihi. And Ganapatihi is a compound word. Shashti Tatpurusha Samasaha. Gananam Patihi Ganapatihi. The Lord of Ganas. Ganaha means group. Ganaha means groups. And here, Lord of groups means groups of what? That is implied. Groups of innumerable, countless beings. Groups of beings. Lord of varied groups of beings is called Ganapatihi. That's why Gananam Tva Ganapati Gum Havamahe. So Gananam Tva means Tvam. Tvam means you, objective. Tvam Tvam. So we worship you, the Lord of all the groups of beings. First sentence is over. Ganana amtva ganapatigum havamahe. First sentence is over, complete. Again, this adjective for Ganapati. Kavim ganapatim havamahe. Worship the Lord, you the Lord of all groups of beings. Kavihi literally means seer, the poet. But here kavihi means the only knower, whose swarupam is knowledge. Kavihi means seer, the only seer, the only perceiver, the only experiencer, the only observer, the only knower of everything. whose swarupam is pure knowledge is called Kavihi. Okay, Kavim, therefore Kavinam Kavihi, the only seer of everything, only knower of everything, because whose swarup is pure knowledge, he is Kavinam Kavihi, the only seer of all those relative seers, relative illuminators. Kavinam Kavihi, the seer of the seers, the absolute seer of everything, the seer of seers, the only absolute seer and knower of everything is Kavinam Kavihi. So we worship you, the Lord of all groups of beings, the only absolute seer of all the seers, whose swarupam is knowledge. So Kavinam Kavim Ganapatim Tvam Havamahe. Again, second first sentence is complete with the extra adjectives. Then Upamashravastamam. Upamashravaha. Upamashravaha. Shravastamaha means, Shravastamaha means one who is Shravastamaha means one who is glorified. Shravastaraha means one who is glorified more. One who is the most glorified. One who is highly, very, very highly glorified is Upam Shravastamaha. And how Bhagavan is glorified? Because we ourselves being part of the whole the Bhagavan. So how much are we glorifying Bhagavan? We are incapable of glorifying Bhagavan. Because how can the fraction know the glories of the whole, fullness? Therefore, we always glorify Bhagavan through similes. Upama. Not upma. Upama, because very quest time. Na? Upama means simile, comparison. Isn't it? So the one who is highly glorified through similes. Upama Shravastamaha Bhagavan. Upama Shravastamam Kavinam Kavim Gananam Patim Ganapatim Tvam Havamahe. Long sentence. Om Gananam Tva Ganapatim Havamahe. Kavim Kavenam Upama Shravastamam Jeshtarajam Brahmanam. Then Brahmanam Jeshtarajaha. Rajaha means Raja. Raja means what? The one who shines. Rajate iti Raja. The one who shines as outstanding, exalted being is the king. A king, prime minister, the chief always shines, isn't it? They don't need advertisements. They're already known. No, well known. Rajate iti Raja. Vilanguhiravar is called Raja. So here Rajaha. But how does he shine? As the Jeshtaha. The word Jeshtaha literally means elder, older. Isn't it? Elder person, older person is called Jeshtaha. Jeshtaha means older person, oldest person. So Jeshtaha. Elder is called Jeshtaha. So Jeshta Putraha, even the elder son, you know. So Jeshtaha. And here, exalted, one who shines as the most exalted among all of all those. Brahmanaha. Again, Brahmanaha here means those who have the vision of the truth. Brahmanam Jeshtarajaha, one meaning. Another meaning is one who shines having self-effulgence as one's nature. One who shines having self-effulgence as one's nature. It's called Jeshtarajaha. One who is of the nature of effulgence, knowledge. See, knowledge is always like into light. So, Jeshtarajah. So, Brahmanam Jeshtarajam, Brahmanam Jeshtarajam, Kavinam Kavim, Vimashravastamam, Gananam Pati, Gananam Ganapatim, Havamahe. One sentence is complete. It's all one sentence.
Gananam Tva Ganapatigam Havamahe, Kavim Kavenam Upamashravastamam, Jeshtarajam Brahmanam Brahmanaspata.
No, Brahmanaspata. Even though it word goes but the swara, actually there is only ekara is dropped because sandhi rules. Brahmanaspate. You are calling the Lord, addressing the Lord as Brahmanaspate. Sitapate means what? Oh, husband of Sita. Like that? Brahmanaspate means the Lord of the Veda. The word Brahma, Brahma means is the word used to imply the reality, absolute reality, Param Brahma. The word Brahma also is used to mean the Vedaha. Veda is also called Brahma. You know why? Because subject matter of the Veda is Brahma. Therefore, Veda is also called Brahma. And Brahmanaha Patihi, the Lord of the Vedas, means the one who is the source of the Vedas, the origin of the Vedas, the one who is subject matter of the Vedas. Okay, what is subject matter of the Vedas? Bhagavan is subject matter of the Vedas. Understanding the entire, understanding the concept of Bhagavan means understanding the core vision of the Vedas. Isn't it? So, Bhagavan is the source of the Vedas. Bhagavan is the origin of the Vedas. And Bhagavan is the source of knowledge. And Bhagavan is the very subject matter of the Vedas also. Therefore, Brahmanaspatihi. You call that, O Brahmanaspate, O Lord of the Vedas, we worship you, the group, Lord of all groups of beings, the absolute seer of all the seers, the most the highly glorified Thropamas, similes, and who is the exalted among all the those wise people also. And the truth of the, and one who is of the nature of self-effulgence. As with this sentence, Hey Brahmanaspate, Tvam Gananam Ganapatim, Upamashravastam Kavim Kavinam, Brahmanam Jeshtarajam Havamahe. One sentence is complete. Okay, afterwards, this is called worship. When you offer your salutations to Bhagavan, we say we worship, worship. Always prayer should follow the sentence, next sentence.
Anashranvannoti bhissida sadhanam,
that is the prayer. We worship you. No, we worship you. We express our thanks to you. That's the meaning. But here, Anashrunvannotivi Sida Sadhanam. That's the sentence of prayer. So, Sida, you have a verb. Sida. Now, take that A from Anaha, add that A with the Sida. In Veda Mantra, you have to do that. A Sida. Make it A Sida. A Sida means may you come and sit. May you take your seat. May you be seated. Don't go elsewhere. May you remain seated. You take your seat. You mean what? You are inviting Bhagavan to come and sit here before I begin this. Any yajnashala, any yagashala, before they begin their performance of rituals, they first expect Bhagavan to come and sit and to bless, to ward off all the obstacles. I just hope, O Lord, may you be present here. May you be seated here. Asida. There's a little meaning. Okay? Asida. But here, where do you ask Bhagavan to come and sit? If Bhagavan goes sits elsewhere, what is the use? He should sit in his own appropriate place. Naha, our, not anybody else's, okay? Our. Naha, our, sadhanam. Sadhanam literally means different meaning, isn't it? Not sadhanam, it is sadhanam. Sadhanam here means the heart. May you take your seat in our hearts. Which means, may you be in my antahkaranam, my mind obtaining within my heart. Okay. Aasida naha sadhanam. Aasida naha sadhanam. May you remain seated, we take a seat in our hearts, in our minds. But when you come and sit, don't come empty handed, come prepared. What does it mean? Uti bhihi saha. Saha is implied, okay? Uti bhihi. Utihi, not Tamil uti, okay? Tamil uti is funny meaning. Uti bhihi. Utihi means a protective means, protective aid. Utihi, protecting instrument, is called utihi. Utibhihi means what? O Lord, may you be seated in my mind, obtaining within my heart with all that you need to protect me. Okay? It means what? With appropriate protective means. This is the prayer. But I tell you, can we ever ask Bhagavan to come and sit in your place, in your mind? If we're asking, we are fools. It is like, we're always sitting. Come on, I'll sit down, take your seats. Come on, I'll sit down, take your seats. If I repeat, what does it mean? You sit. Oh my God, we have come to the prominence Bhagavad Gita. Why have we come here, wasting our time? We are always sitting. And this woman is repeating the same sentence. We are always sitting. Why is she asking us to sit? Is it worth studying with her at all? You will think that way. We are always sitting. So Bhagavan is already sitting. He can never get up and go away. How can Bhagavan go away anywhere? Again, everlasting, beginningless, endless, timeless, all-pervasive Bhagavan Swarupam always is in your minds. How can Bhagavan go away? Isn't it? Bhagavan always sitting. So what it means is, even though Bhagavan is without moving an inch, he is all the time sitting there as the very truth of I, whether the you know you are there or not, whether you know you are there, Bhagavan is all the time there as your own Swarupam. When is Bhagavan away from you? But whenever we say, O Lord, may you be, take your seat, means what it implies is, even though Bhagavan is there, if Bhagavan Swarupam is not revealed to us, as though Bhagavan is away from us. If Bhagavan Swarupam is revealed to us, then Bhagavan is there ever inseparably. The prayer implies, O Lord, reveal thy presence to me, make thy presence revealed to me, thereby, okay, be the, you are the only source of protection. Okay, your Swarupam, making your Swarupam revealed to me is my protection. Is it clear? Make your Swarupam revealed to me. Aasida naha sadhanam. Naha aasida sadhanam. We may ask you for jnanam. Literally, you can say, come and sit here. See that no obstacles are here. So you can protect us from all the obstacles come. You break them and send. You be the obstacle for the obstacle. Obstacle do not come to us, that we are protected. Utibihi, all the protective means, any law, if you are in any form of law which can save us from all the problems, you be there, protect us. Little many. Okay? Now I can say from here, after Bhagavan introduces the Swarupam first, then he, from verse number 4 to the 12th, we understood about Bhagavan. How Bhagavan is there as the Apara Prakritihi and Para Prakritihi, which are the two causes of the whole Jagat. The knower of the Jagat is Para Prakriti of Bhagavan. Therefore, there is no knower other than Bhagavan. The known universe also is Apara Prakriti of Ishvara. The known Jagat also is Bhagavan. The knower and the known, both had been resolved in the Bhagavan, only Bhagavan, only Lord, who is essentially of the nature of pure knowledge. It's very, very, very clear. Then Bhagavan talks about bhakti. Yesterday we talked about bhakti. So, now the question should not arise in us. Is bhakti a separate path to moksha? Freedom from liberation. Freedom from bondage. Freedom from sorrow. Freedom from limitations. So, to discover happiness, is bhakti a means? If you ask, of course, bhakti is definitely a means for discovering happiness. But we should understand what bhakti is. When does bhakti become means for discovering happiness? When the bhakti is understood, exalted form of devotion is knowledge. Jnanameva sreshtatama bhaktihi. Said knowledge is the exalted form of devotion. Why knowledge is the exalted form of devotion? Only in that devotion you see yourself being non-separate from Bhagavan. You see Bhagavan being the Swarupam of your own Swarupam. Thereby you resolve your identity in Bhagavan, you disappear in Bhagavan. You see only Bhagavan. And you can, there cannot be a better bhakti than that. As they explained, parama prema pravaha bhaktihi means the exalted flow of love is devotion, means the love implies the fusion, and the fusion means the individuality being resolved in totality. See, the worshipper has to resolve and dissolve in the worship. Not physical dissolution here. Cognitively, you see yourself being non-separate from Bhagavan. Isn't it? It's like wave form being cognitively resolved in its truth, the water. The I sense, which is used to all by you to refer to yourself, has to be understood to be essentially the pure consciousness. That's called really the only truth of the whole. That is the fusion, which is love, which is prema, which is the exalted form of devotion, jnana bhaktihi. So discovering Bhagavan as one's own swarupam is exalted form of devotion, jnana bhaktihi. Now, but for a person to become a jnani bhaktaha, one must become a real devotee. And the real devotee is the one who is actually the spiritual person. The spiritual person is the one who is a thinker, who wants to know who Bhagavan is. Who wants to understand what God means, what Ishvara means. Thereby who makes appropriate efforts in terms of studying the Shastram, understanding Bhagavan. Jignasu Bhaktaha. Jignasu is a desiderative word. Jignasa, Jnatum, Iccha, Jignasa, and a desire to know. And Jignasuhu, an adjective, the one who wants to know. And Jignasu Bhaktaha, the one who wants to know who Bhagavan is, the real devotee. He alone can become the exalted of the devotees, a Jnani Bhaktaha. Otherwise, whoever worships Bhagavan for acquiring what one does not have, for preserving what one has acquired, for yoga kshemartham, prartha kamas, for enjoyment of pleasures, who are anything, Bhagavan, they pray to Bhagavan, worship Bhagavan, they seek Bhagavan's help, and they are called Artharthi Bhaktaha. Not bad, they are also very good Bhaktaha, at least they worship for that. But they are Bhaktaha. Then we have Artha Bhaktaha, Artihi distress. Artha is the one who is in distress. Forgetting Bhagavan, all the time forget Bhagavan, worship Bhagavan, think of Bhagavan, suddenly think of Bhagavan only when they are in trouble, they are called Artha Bhaktaha. And also Bhaktaha. And Bhagavan himself very generous enough to say, Sarve Yeva Udaraha Yeva. All these Bhaktas are great Bhaktas, nobody is inferior here. Bhagavan is really, you know, at least says generously, they are great Bhaktas. So, four types of bhaktas, okay? Which means, now the question should not arise. That is why bhaktihi, devotion, expresses itself in many forms. If you live a life of karma yoga, having the purushartha nischeha, if purushartha nischeha is there, you are bhakta. If you have desire for jnanam, you are real bhakta. If you understand the jnana, understood Bhagavan, you are the exalt of the bhaktas. But in order to prepare your mind, you are studying, you are given to study of the Shastram, and you are doing involved in Shravanam, the discipline of Shravanam, listening to the study, listening to the unfoldment of the Shastram, then definitely you are a Bhaktaha. And you are trying to resolve doubts about Bhagavan, what you have understood in the Shastram, you are doing Mananam, you are a Bhaktaha. And if you are given to the discipline of contemplation, all the time you are dwelling upon the fact which you already clearly understood, you are a Bhaktaha. In forms of the expression of bhakti. Okay? And if you are not yet ready mentally and you are living a life of karma yoga, living a life of dharma, in order to prepare your mind for jnanam, you are doing all your duties and responsibilities for the sake of preparing your mind for Bhagavan, then the living a life of karma yoga is also bhakti. Okay? It's all bhakti only. But these different forms of expressions of bhakti should culminate in the vision of Bhagavan being your own Swarupam, only then there's the completion of bhakti, isn't it? So bhakti should culminate in the attainment of knowledge, which is the exalted form of bhakti. If jnanam, if the focus is not in knowledge, Bhagavan is not the ultimate goal, Ishwara is not the goal, if moksha is not the end for you, then whatever you do is a karma. Okay? It's a karma, punya karma. Okay? Without purushartha nischeha, without being committed to the pursuit of knowledge, without being given discipline or study of the Shastra, if I want jnanam, I want to know who Bhagavan is, without that desire, not have moksha as the goal, how much ever you travel all over, how much ever pilgrimages you go for, how many temples you visit, how many pujas you perform, they're all amazing punya karma. You can earn abundance of punyam, which will be translated later on sometime in future into a lot of enjoyment of pleasures, definitely, but still that doesn't become yoga. Understand? If real bhakti is when only it purushartha nischeha is there, then that is real bhakti. Otherwise also bhakti. Somewhere all forms of karma you do, all the worship you do, in conformity with dharma, definitely one day will help you grow. It contribute for growth, emotional maturity. But really speaking, real devotion is only when you become committed to the pursuit of the knowledge of Bhagavan. I want to know Bhagavan, I should understand who Bhagavan is, what Bhagavan is, how Bhagavan is, what is the Swarupam, what this universe is, what I am. That burning urge when it is there in you, that is when you are a real devotee. And that urge it culminates in the attainment of the vision, that is Jnana Bhakti, is the exalted form of devotion, which we saw after all of you left. Okay? Some of you left. We saw 17th verse also we have seen. And the 17th verse itself, Bhagavan makes it very clear why Jnani Bhaktaha is the exalted of the devotees. Why a wise person, Jnani, wise person is the one who has the vision of Bhagavan. Vision of Bhagavan means one who has understood Bhagavan's Swarupam as one's own Swarupam. And he is Sreshtaha Bhaktaha. Why? Because Bhagavan says, he is very dear to me. I am very dear to him. Why? Because Bhagavan and Bhakta are not two. Bhagavan Swarupam is Bhakta. Bhagavan Bhakta Swarupam is Bhagavan. And Bhagavan is Bhakta Swarupam. Isn't it? Which means Bhagavan and Bhakta, there is no more worshipper, worshipped, devotee, deity difference. They resolved it. Therefore, Bhagavan says, he is myself, I am his self. Therefore, he is my dearest. I am very dear to him, he is very dear to me. Therefore, Jnani is the exalted devotee. Okay. Oh, I finished 18th also. Oh, sorry. This early morning I did a class. 68, that's why I forget which class I did. All day I finished my own class. Yesterday, 21st, I said,
yes.
See, Bhagavan as the karma phala data, as the bestower of fruits of actions, definitely Bhagavan ordains the results of any form of worship offered to any deity by any devotee. Thereby, Bhagavan strengthens, confirms, makes the Shraddha, the faith in worship. He makes the faith more firm. Strengthens that the faith in worship. Sataya shraddhaya yuktaha, sataya shraddhaya yuktaha, tasya radhana mihate,
tasya radhana mihate,
sataya shraddhaya yuktaha,
satya
shraddhaya yukta
tasya radhana mihate.
Yes, Tara, I want all of you to listen to this also. Satya shraddhaya yukta,
satya shraddhaya yukta
tasya radhana mihate,
tasya radhana mihate,
labhate chatatah kaman,
labhate chatatah kaman,
mayaiva vihitan hitan,
mayaiva vihitan hitan,
sataya shraddhaya yuktah,
sataya shraddhaya yuktah,
tasya radhana mihate,
tasya radhana mihate,
labhate chatatah kaman,
labhate chatatah kaman,
mayaiva vihitan hitan,
mayaiva vihitan.
saha third person singular pronoun masculine gender saha that person that devotee whose strength whose faith in his devotion whose faith in worship whose faith in worship has been strengthened and made firm because of his previous act of worshipping and taya shraddhaya yuktaha that devotee that bhakta endowed with that faith tasya aradhanam ihate tasya aradhanam means he worships that deity tasya aradhanam ihate means he offers that worship to the deity he performs that worship or he involves himself in that act of worshipping he keeps himself busy in that act of worshipping aradhanam ihate tasya devasya tasyaha devatayaha aradhanam ihate he involves himself in that act of worshipping that given deity being endowed with that great shraddha why he has shraddha why he has faith in worship because he enjoyed the benefit of the worship which he did before how did he enjoy the benefit of the worship he did worship is an action worship is a will involved action whether he knows it or not some out of fear or some faith he had he did it but worship is what as an action and as definitely it produces the phalam and that phalam is ordained by Bhagavan in the form of law and order in fact any action performed definitely has result and the result of any action every action is ordained by Bhagavan of law and order but because he enjoyed the result of action therefore he has more faith in that and being endowed with that more faith and he really involves himself in that worship of that deity tasya aaradhanam ihate thereby what happens again he gains result labhate he gains what kaman he gains all his desired ends kaman tataha thereby as a result of that act of worshipping he definitely gains the fruits of that act of worshipping in terms of his desired ends abhishta phala siddhi no sankalpadu abhishta phala siddhyartham imam pujam karishye alase abhishta phala siddhi the desired ends whatever specific prayers he had also he gets them fulfilled or sometimes even other ends also happen definitely so kaman labhate he definitely accomplishes the desired ends by performing that ritual now worship as a top that worship tataha kaman labhate but those desired ends which he accomplishes as a result of his worship ordained by whom does he choose this result no he wanted those results he prayed for those results but he cannot choose those results and those results those fruits of that act of worshipping have been ordained by Bhagavan all those desired ends which you are enjoying are actually ordained by Bhagavan maya eva vihitan tan sah labhate sah maya eva vihitan tan kaman labhate what does Bhagavan say whatever the fruits of result actions the person enjoys and those ends desired ends have been ordained by me alone Arjuna is it clear again Bhagavan makes it very clear that there are not many Bhagavans only Bhagavan who alone is in the form of everything. Therefore, Lord Bhagavan is in the form of the universal natural moral law and order, within the realm of which all the natural laws are there, and those laws alone definitely determine the results of actions. And worship also is an action, and the result of the act of worship also is ordained by Bhagavan only. Doesn't matter which is the deity invoked, what is the phalam, what is the ritual performed, who is the worshipper, doesn't matter. Definitely the act of worship has the phalam thereby, and who ordained it? Bhagavan is the only ordainer. Bhagavan, only Bhagavan is the only order of all the fruits of actions, including the act of worship also. Where he says, Maya eva vihitan tan kaman saha labhate. He definitely gains these fruits of results in terms of the desired ends ordained by me alone. Is it clear? Okay. So what does it say now? Hereafter, we don't need to doubt. If we perform any worship, if we do any puja, will it produce phalam or not? We don't need to have any ashraddha, don't need to have any doubt. You can 100% believe, if we do any puja to the best of your ability and knowledge, faithfully, that puja will definitely give you the phalam. Even if the pratibandha is very bad, that you cannot get exactly the desired end, what you wanted now, because the pratibandha, the puja which you worship will never go waste, the present puja phalam will definitely come sometime, at least in future. Immediately you may not get. Sometimes the pratibandha is bad, the parabdha is bad, some pratibandha, some obstruction comes. Because of a previous papa palam. Okay, some obstruction comes. Oh, I put on such a big homam, nothing happened. Immediately, may not get the result immediately. But this karma which you performed, the action which you done, the puja which you did, will never go waste. The fruit will definitely come, taking its own time. Sometime it will come. The puja will never, any action you do, the result will never go waste. It will come back to you. But may not be immediately. It will come definitely. Okay? Why it didn't come now? Because of the past parabdha. Okay? The parabdha has brought some pratibandha, obstruction. Therefore, the karma never goes waste. Okay? Verse number 23.
Antavattu phalam tesham, antavattu phalam tesham, tadbhavatyalpa medhasam,
tadbhavatyalpa medhasam,
devan devaya joyanti,
devan devaya joyanti,
madbhak Tayanti mamapi,
tayanti mamapi,
antavattu phalam tesham,
antavattu phalam tesham,
tadbhavatyalpa medhasam,
tadbhavatyalpa medhasam,
devan devaya joyanti,
devan devaya joyanti,
madbhaktayanti mamapi,
madbhaktayanti mamapi.
Okay. So here Bhagavan says, phalam bhavati. Definitely the fruit of the act of worship happens. Phalam bhavati. Any form of worship you perform, any karma you do, any ritual you perform, any worship you do, in whichever form you worship, whoever worships, phalam bhavati, definitely fruit does happen. But the act of worship is an action. Worship is an action. Whether it's a Vedicam karma, whether it's a Vedic worship prescribed in the Veda, as a Vedic ritual, or any form of worship you do. I perform your own pujas, any form of worship performed definitely produces phalam, but worship is an action. Action means action is dependent on many accessories, karakas, isn't it? And all the karakas are any karakam, any accessory used, involved in performing any action is time bound in nature. There is nothing which is permanent accessory, okay? Everything is time bound. Therefore, the action also is time bound. Worship being an action is also time bound. So, worship cannot produce everlasting moksha, okay? Understand the advantage of worship, understand the importance of worship, understand the necessity of worship, at the same time understand the limitation of worship also. Worship is an action. Therefore, it cannot produce, no action can produce timeless infinite end. Understand? So, worship always an action. So, worship can give you what? Only time-bound result. It can give you artha, it can give you money, it can give you anything which falls within the realm, within under the category of artha. Or it can help you enjoy the best of pleasures, not even local pleasures. You can go to higher lokas, enjoy special dance by Ramba Urvasi or Gandharva's music, not local musicians. You can have even pleasures, but all time-bound, finite ends only. Okay, finite ends only. Therefore, Bhagavan, who are the people who really invoke the grace of Bhagavan in the form of specific devatas and for specific reasons and specific prayers? Who will do? They are not bad people. Udaraha, Bhagavan already said, all good people. But they are all good people, nice people, very pious people, but not very intelligent people. Alpamedhas, not Purnamedhas, Alpamedhas means because they're people of Alpamedhas. Okay, they're not very intelligent people. The very intelligent means you will ask, will you pray for the time? Will you pray for the timeless? You pray for the time bound, everlasting or time bound? Those who ask for everlasting, the permanent, infinite, are the Purnamedhas. Is it? Otherwise, if you pray for time-bound results, Alpamedhas. That is why, a good example. You take your grandson or your son, who is 5 or 10 year old. Not 10 is very intelligent nowadays, 5. And 5 was very intelligent nowadays, high IQ. You take them. And then you are going on the roadside, okay, pound shop. I tell you my own buddhi, okay. Pound shop comes, lots of toys. And the child stops there, doesn't want to go up, but he wants a toy from pound shop. And then you are not Alpamedhas. Come, I'll get you something differently. You are going ahead. Alpamedhas stops there. Ask for what? Toy. Okay, similarly here, Bhagavan says, even the Veda, if you are Purnamedhas, you will aspire for jnanam, you will aspire for shastra study, you will aspire for moksha, you will aspire for the strength level life of dharma. Isn't it? This all what? You will aspire for antakarna shuddhi, antakarna naishchalyam. Nothing wrong if you aspire for artha kama. But you should know what you are asking for. Ultimately, what you are seeking must be very clear. If ultimate end is not clear, only you will be praying for all these things, isn't it? If Alpamedhasa means, it is not wrong to, the child wants to buy a toy, so it's wrong. No. Allow the child to buy, enjoy. The Veda provides also everything for us. So, what he says, Alpamedhasa. So, people who are not adequately discriminate, people who are not indiscriminate people, who do not believe, at least they have faith in Bhagavan, Isn't it? They are indiscriminate people, Shraddha in Bhagavan and worship, but they are not adequately discriminate. People of little discrimination, what do they do? Alpa medasam tesham, for those people, that is why they worship different deities for different results, specific deities for specific ends. And such people, tesham palam bhavati, promise, palam bhavati, definitely the result happens, but antavat palam bhavati. What palam bhavati? Antavat palam bhavati. Antavat, with time bound, finite result definitely happens. So what is the lesson here? Any amount of karma you perform, definitely fruit is definite. That's what important. Never ever any worship you perform goes waste. But the fruit produced by the worship is not jnanam or moksha, not everlasting, it is time bound. Alpa medhasam tesham antavat palam tu bhavati. Definitely the fruit happens, but it is time bound in nature. Therefore he says, deva yajaha devan yanti. Deva yajaha devan yanti. What? People who, the worshippers of different devatas are said to be deva yajaha. Deva yaj means worshipper of devata. Deva yajaha, worshippers of devas, corresponding devatas. People who worship corresponding devatas or corresponding results, no? Given results, deva yajaha, devan yanti. Means what? They attain those devas. What does it mean, attain devas? They enjoy the benefits of the worship ordained by those devatas. Those devatas also what? Bhagavan only. Bhagavan in the form of those devatas ordain their results. They enjoy only finite ends. Okay? Now, madbhaktaha mam api yanti. Madbhaktaha mam yanti. People who aspire for me, people who aspire for the knowledge of the truth, people who aspire for the swarupam of knowledge of Bhagavan swarupam, they attain Bhagavan. They attain Bhagavan in terms of knowledge. They discover Bhagavan as one's own swarupam, their own swarupam. See, you will attain what you aspire for. That Bhagavan promises. You will definitely aspire, gain what you aspire for. If you seek Bhagavan, you will get Bhagavan. If you seek any other end, you will get that end. Okay? You worship the devatas, you will have their status also. Later on, as a result of the prayers to Bhagavan, offering prayers to Bhagavan, you will even have their status. Some status also you will get. Devata status also you will get. But even in enjoying the status of being the devatas, still there is no moksha. Understand? Moksha is only in your jnanam, which makes your life complete and meaningful and successful. Never ever forget that. Okay. Avyaktam, 24th verse. Avyaktam vyaktimapannam.
Avyaktam vyaktimapannam.
Avyaktam vyaktimapannam.
Avyaktam vyaktimapannam.
Manyante mama buddhayah.
Manyante mama buddhayah.
Param bhavam jananto.
Param bhavam jananto.
Mama vyayam anuttamam.
Mama vyayam anuttamam.
Param bhavam jananto.
Param bhavam jananto.
Mama vyayam anuttamam.
Mama vyayam anuttamam.
अव्यक्तं व्यक्तिमापन्नम् मन्यन्ते माम बुद्धयः परं भावमजानन्तो ममाव्ययमनुत्तमम् अव्यक्तं व्यक्तिमापन्नम् मन्यन्ते माम बुद्धयः परं भावमजानन्तो ममाव्ययमनुत्तमम्
He says, again, abuddhayaha, abuddhayaha manyante. Manyante means kardhirarhal, think. Think, no? Who think abuddhayaha? Abuddhayaha means people who are not discriminate, indiscriminate people. People who do not have the clear understanding. Those people think abuddhayaha manyante. What do they think? Think about whom? They think about me. Okay, ma manyante. They think of me as the one vyaktimapannam. Vyaktimapannam means vyaktihi means the one who has appeared is called Vyaktihi. One who has appeared is called Vyaktihi. Appearance is also Vyaktihi, Vyaktata. Vyaktim apannam maam manyante. They think of me as the one with the form. Okay? They think of me as the one with the form perceptible. Vyaktihi means a perceptible form is called a vyakti. They think of me as the one with the perceptible form. Actually, I am of the nature of formlessness, therefore imperceptible. See, an object must obtain in some form to be perceived. It need form, color form, shape form, sound form, smell form, touch form, isn't it? Taste form. In some form, the object must obtain. Doesn't need to be a gross form which is perceptible through the eyes alone. It can be in any form perceptible through any of the sense organs. Then you can say vyaktimapannaha. A form available for perception is called what? Form. An object obtaining in a given form perceptible is called vyaktimapannam. Actually, what is Bhagavan here? Who is Bhagavan? Who is Ishvara? Ishvara is a title attributed to the formless reality which is in the form of all the forms which constitute the universe, isn't it? Ishvara is essentially the formless reality and which alone is shining in the form of all the forms which constitute the whole jagat. Your Ishvara is essentially the reality which is of the nature of formlessness, attributelessness, therefore not perceptible through any of the sense organs, and not even an object, not even the subject. But isn't it? And that Ishvara is the truth, which is the truth of the subject and the object. It is not a subject, not the object, not perceived any of the sense organs. That is Ishvara, Swarupam. So, therefore, avyaktaha. Avyaktaha means imperceptible. Bhagavan is imperceptible, formless, abstract reality. Even though Bhagavan essentially the imperceptible, formless, abstract reality, the abuddhayaha, the people who do not discriminate, who are not discriminate people, they mistake me, they consider me as the one with the perceptible form. Is it clear? Why they do it? Because param bhavam ajanantaha. Param bhavam ajanantaha. Not having understood, not understanding, not knowing Bhagavan's absolute nature. Param bhavam. Param bhavaha means absolute nature. Not having understood Bhagavan's original, absolute, essential nature. And which is of the nature of changelessness, avyayam, uttamam, the exalted. So not understanding, not knowing Bhagavan's exalted, changeless, absolute, essential nature, they mistake or they think the imperceptible Bhagavan's Swarupam, they mistake Bhagavan, the one with the form. Not knowing Bhagavan's Swarupam. He says, mama, my, avyayam, changeless, uttamam, exalted, param, absolute, bhavam, nature, ajanantaha, not knowing, avyaktam, mam, the imperceptible, formless reality, me, vyaktim apannam manyante abuddhayaha. They think of Bhagavan as the one with the form. Think of me as the one with the form. Who? Abuddhayaha. So what does Bhagavan expect us to do? May you all not be abuddhayaha. May you all become samuddhayaha. Okay? May you not be indiscriminate people, may all be discriminate people, understand Bhagavan, what is there is only Bhagavan. All the forms are Bhagavan's forms. And second sentence might be what? All the forms are Bhagavan. But Bhagavan, all the forms are not Bhagavan's forms also. All the forms are Bhagavan, and all the forms are essentially formless reality, which is Bhagavan's essential nature. Bhagavan is essentially formless reality. You have to understand. Bhagavan wants us to understand that form. Avyaktam vyaktimapannam.
Avyaktam vyaktimapannam.
Manyante mama buddhayaha.
Manyante mama buddhayaha.
Param bhavam ajananto.
Param bhavam ajananto.
Chapter 7:24. Param bhavam ajananto.
Param bhavam ajananto.
Mama vyayam anuttamam.
Mama vyayam anuttamam.
Swamiji used to say, Swamiji, after attaining moksha, what should I do? Swamiji used to say, I had to go for second sannyasa. What does it mean? Swamiji used to say, the way he used to put his hand like this. Sir, what disgrace now for a person to hear such things? Great teacher, which means after discovering happiness, you need not achieve anything, isn't it? In fact, discovering happiness means discovering the very truth. are discovering truth, then nothing else needs to be discovered. But does not mean after discovering the truth you need not do anything. You have to eat, you have to drink as long as body is there, and still you have to be doing physically what you have to be doing for the well-being of the society. Okay? As long as alive, still physically, orally, mentally, you can be contributive for the well-being of society. Loka kalyanartham, isn't it? You'll be doing things. But when you're doing things, you are not in no any way dependent on any of the actions or the results of actions for happiness and security. So you are not doing for happiness after jnanam. You will be doing happily, reveling in happiness. The big difference in doing happily, reveling in happiness for the sake of doing is different from doing things for happiness. That is the difference. Okay? Something. What I am saying here, param bhama janantaha means what? Not knowing, not having understood Bhagavan's rupam being formless and changeless, no, and imperceptible, and that is the rupam, that is the real nature, discovering which you need not discover anything else. That is the absolute. Ultimate. Okay.
Naham prakasha sarvasya.
Naham prakasha sarvasya.
Yoga maya samavritaha.
Yoga maya samavritaha.
Naham prakasha sarvasya.
Naham prakasha sarvasya.
Yoga maya samavritaha.
Yoga maya samavritaha.
Moodhoyam nabhijana.
Udoyam na vijanati.
Loko mama jama. Loko mama jama uyayam.
Loko mama jama uyayam.
Naham prakasha sarvasya.
Naham prakasha sarvasya.
Yoga maya samavritaha.
Yoga maya samavritaha.
Moodhoyam nabhijanati.
Moodhoyam nabhijanati.
Loko mamajamauyayam.
Loko mamajamauyayam.
Okay. I am lokaha. I am lokaha means this world. This world, not people of this world. Okay, this world of people. Moodaha, I am lokaha. Adjective you look at moodaha lokaha. Like moodaha purushaha. Okay, deluded world. This deluded world. Okay, the deluded people. I am moodaha lokaha. Ma na abhijanati. This deluded world does not know me. Ma na abhijanati. They do not know me about what? Ajam avyayam. They do not know, the people do not understand that avyayam. Avyayam mamna abhijanati. They do not know Bhagavan is essentially of the nature of changelessness. Bhagavan is the truth. Bhagavan is the only truth. Bhagavan only sadvastu. Bhagavan is the only absolute reality, and which is of the nature of formlessness, which is of the nature of changelessness, which is of the nature of all pervasiveness. They do not know Bhagavan's swarupam. They do not even know Bhagavan's rupam. Where is the question? Understanding Bhagavan's swarupam, isn't it? How many people know that the whole Jagat is Bhagavan? All that is only Bhagavan who understands this fact. This is, isn't it? Therefore, Vishwarupa, at least simply say, people talk, Bhagavan is omnipotent, almighty, omnipresent. People take all, isn't it? People talk about all, omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent. Please say that. And really, Bhagavan's Rukmishal is not very clear. And Bhagavan Swarupam, the Lord is the very reality, which is the only absolute reality, which is of the nature of formlessness and changelessness, which is free from births and deaths, which has no beginning, has no end, of the nature of beginningless and endlessness, changelessness, therefore which is of the nature of eternity, timelessness. Ajam avyayam mam ayam mudaha lokaha na abhijanati. This world, why mudaha? Deluded. The world is deluded. Deluded means what? The world does not have the discriminative knowledge. Discriminative understanding is not there. Why discrimination is not there? Because ignorance. Yoga maya samavartaha. Isn't it? Therefore, because being covered by ignorance, okay, being covered by ignorance, this my swarupam is not known. Aham na prakashaha sarvasya. But I, the truth, am. I, the reality, am the pure consciousness, am not recognizable. Na prakashaha. Prakashaha sarvasya. Aham na prakashaha means I am not revealed, I am not recognized sarvasya. Not by all, not by everyone. Is it? I'm not recognized, I'm not revealed for everyone. Why? Because ignorance covers. I, the reality, am covered by the ignorance, even though reality is non-coverable. Look at this. Reality, Bhagavan Swarupam is reality. The reality is called Nirvanam Brahma. Nirvanam means what? Nirvana means naked. Naked means what? Non-coverable. Non-coverable. Why non-coverable? All pervasive reality, how can be covered by anything spatially limited? Everything other than the reality in this world is what? Spatially limited. Everything here is spatially limited. And how can spatially limited thing cover this spatially limitless truth? Spatially limited thing cannot cover the spatially limited reality. Your reality is never coverable. This non-coverability of the reality is implied with the term Nirvanam Brahma. But still, that reality which is never coverable is as though covered by ignorance. That is why yoga maya. And okay, as though covered by ignorance. What covers now? Ignorance. Ignorance covers the truth. We do not know what the truth is. And it results in the lack of discriminative knowledge called avivekaha, delusion. And when you do not know what is really, then you mistake the what is not really, what is as though, is mistaken for the reality. As though Jagat is mistaken to be the reality. As though real universe is taken to be the reality. The world is very real for us. Why do you mistake it? Because we do not know what is real. This mistake is called for this delusion. We are deluded. We do not have discriminative knowledge of what is real, what is not real, what is as though real. We do not have a discriminative knowledge. What is satyam? What is mithya? What is absolutely real? What is as though real? The discriminative knowledge is not there. It's called what? Delusion. Lack of discriminative knowledge is called delusion. And this discriminative knowledge is not, therefore, what happens? We mistake the as though real universe as the real universe. We mistake it as the real universe. We mistake this real universe as a source of happiness and security. And we lean on this universe for happiness and security. We become dependent on the universe for security, and that is how we get emotionally entangled with everything we enjoy in the world. Anything and everything we enjoy in the world become emotionally entangled. Food, the pleasures, the other objects and the people and the relationships. Anything we are there for with somebody for some time, slowly we start sticking. A place, people, that is why friendship is called sneha. Snihyati means sticks. You're getting sneha. It sounds like a beautiful expression, a highly expressive language. Snihyati iti sneha. Know that? Snigdha means what? Stuck. We get stuck. So, snihyati iti sneha. Anything we associate with for some time, we like it. Watch one serial for one day, next day also you want to watch. Anything you do, next day also you want to do. Isn't it? You know some people immediately make phone calls. You want to strengthen. Of course, maintaining relationships, keeping us okay, fine. But you die if you don't talk to the person. That is the problem. Isn't it? So what I want to say here, it is our nature thing. It means we mistake the world as a source of happiness and security, and we become dependent on the world for security and happiness or pleasures. Then what happens? That is when we become emotionally entangled. We cannot live without the company of the world. And we will miss the company of the world desperately, and that is when we go through misery. Okay? Why? It's all because of lack of discrimination. And why there's no discrimination? We don't know what is real, what is not real, therefore because we do not know what really is. That not knowing what really is called ajnanam, and that covers the reality. You can ask me, how do you say ignorance also covers? Covering means we always want some lid, isn't it? Lid does something. I can say, see my book covers my hand, my fingers. Like this, our cloth covers my hand, or a book also. This is cover. But ajnanam also covers. Ignorance covers. Before I used to tell a story of rambutan. Remember? Everybody knows rambutan story. Ignorance covers. This time really it happened in Kuwait. Now after I came back, it was a very, very sad thing. My very dear, closest students had been passed away. It was a very painful thing. But still, there was something called some Punjabi dish they made. They filled it, you know, nice dish. I did not know the name of the dish. Some bakachi, you know, something. I forgot it because of the pain, I forgot everything. Anyway, what I'm saying, it was there. And then they asked me to eat. I did not take it to eat just because I did not know what it was. It was right in front of me. Please take means what? You should know what the word means, isn't it? Then you can pick it up. You do not know it, it covers. How, not that the object may be right in front of you. People have asked you, please go and give the book to Eva. If you do not know who Eva is, Eva is sitting right next to you, next to Kalyanima. Would you please give the book to Eva if I say, sitting next to her, she is blinking. You know why? Not because she is not seeing through physical eyes. She is seeing this woman, he is sitting next to her, but she does not turn her head and see. Why? Because she does not know the Eva is the name of the person who is sitting next to her. He does not know who Eva is. Isn't it? Ignorance covers. Similarly here also, not knowing what you are is actually not knowing what this I is. You only know I is, but you do not know what this I is. You know I is, you express as what? I am. I is, you know. It means in, you say in terms of I am. You do not know but what I is. Isn't it? This is what discovers. Therefore, what happens? There is no discriminative knowledge of what. But you don't know what the truth is. Therefore, you do not know what fullness is, what Bhagavan is, understanding. Therefore, you mistake what is not as the reality. As though the universe is mistaken to be, you do not know what you are. You mistake your own body as its complex as yourself. Thereby you mistake the world also as a source of happiness and security. The world is very real for you. All your pains and pleasures are real for you. Experiences are real for you. Actions are real for you. The fruits of actions are real for you. Everything is very real for you. They are unreal, but they are not as absolutely real as you think. Relatively real. You mistake. Isn't it? Therefore, yoga mayaya, this is how Bhagavan says, but my swarupam is not revealed to all. Not revealed to all, which means swarupam is not recognizable for everyone. Why? Being covered by ignorance. Ayam lokaha na abhijanati. Ayam mudaha lokaha na abhijanati. This deluded world does not know me. Why? Mam ajam avyayam. They do not know real nature of the nature, essential nature of the reality being changeless and timeless. Reality is beginningless, endless, changeless, timeless, eternal, everlasting, all pervasive. This nature is not known. This is what the reality is, they do not know. This is what Ishvara is, so Ishvara is, they do not know. Is it clear?
Vedaham samati.
One more thing I want to tell you, important thing. See, people want to know what this Maya is. Maya is something to be understood in terms of avidya. Okay. Maya is something to be understood in terms of avidya. Once you understand what avidya is, one resolves the avidya in its swarupam. When you see your swarupam being the truth, you have crossed Maya. Okay? You can never understand Maya. Why? Because The whole Jagat is in Mahapralaya. This the threefold, three times I tell you. Layaha means layaha. Layaha means every day when you fall asleep, this is called a layaha. Every day when you fall asleep, in deep sleep state, there is layaha. The knowledge I am obtaining in the form of a thought, when it is resolved, there is what? The knowledge, the world is also is resolved, then there is a blankness of mind. Which is, then there is ignorance, we call it ignorance, avidya. When you do not know you are, you do not know the world is, state of mind which is avidya. Is it clear? Ignorance is avidya. When there is avidya, are you there or not? When there is ignorance, total ignorance, in terms of you do not know you are, you do not know the world is, you do not know you are the world is, but you are or not? In sleep, when there is avidya, you are not knowing you are. You are not knowing the world is. Is it clear? You are. It is called a layaha. You yourself being without knowing your own existence, without knowing the existence of the world. Okay, it's called layaha. But on waking up from sleep, you know that you knew that you were not. You mean your ignorance also is what known to you? Isn't it? So in layaha, you are not knowing you are. Layaha, you are not knowing the world is. But still, every time you wake up, you know you are not knowing the world was, not knowing that you were. I mean, you know your ignorance also. When you wake up from sleep, you are aware of your ignorance. Which means the ignorance which is there in sleep is also object of your knowledge. Okay? So you are the knower of ignorance, which knows the ignorance, and on waking up from sleep, you're able to recollect your ignorance. Is it clear? Therefore, in sleep, whenever this knowledge I am is obtaining in the form of thought is resolved, that's called layaha. Okay? Go for a tea and come back, I'll talk to you.